Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mkandawire, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my elder. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. Did you have a good day so far?
Yes, I have.
Fantastic.
I hope you have too.
Well, we've had a good day. Some beautiful rains have been falling on us literally almost the whole day here. So it's been fantastic indeed.
Amen. We praise the Lord.
Yeah. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. And those who are joining for the first time, we've been talking with Pastor Mkandawire for the last while, since Monday, talking about salvation. And of course, today being a Thursday, we are still talking about salvation. And we want to understand when and how it actually takes place. And we also want to know if, as Adventists, we have the automatic acceptance into the kingdom of heaven. And so, having said that, Pastor, is salvation a singular event or a continuous process?
To answer that question, I would have to ask the Bible. So we'll have to ask the Bible to help us with the answer to that question. Let me begin by asking that you allow me to read a few portions of Scripture.
That's all right.
And then we will then refer to a few more.
Mm-hmm.
So let's begin reading Luke chapter 23. In the book of Luke 23, you find a scenario where Jesus Christ is on the cross, and that day is about to die. That's the day that's most important to Christianity.
Mm. Now, 23 verse, is it the whole chapter or there's a particular verse you want us to read?
No, let's just read two verses,
42 and 43.
Yes, that's Luke 23. This is what the Bible says. And so, the thief was verse 42. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Verse 43, the Bible says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" And so, for this particular person, salvation was that very day guaranteed. And that means that it was an event for this particular person. But then again, the Bible also says that it is not really just an event. It is a process. Colossians chapter 1.
So did he mean, before you go to Colossians chapter 1, he says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So Christ was promising this fella that on that very day, they are going to be in paradise together.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. You see, the thing is, both were dying that very day. And that's what happened. They both died that very day. And so Christ was making the assurance that very day, because that day, that thief was dying on the cross. Mm-hmm. So because he died that day, his assurance came that very day.
Oh, so when they died that day, they would then go to paradise where they would be together.
No, not. Okay, so the thing is, in answering the question, is it an event or a process?
Okay,
I have decided to read portion of Scripture another. Then I want to answer the questions after I read Scripture.
Okay, all right. Okay.
All right. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. This is what the Bible says. "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of the flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Mm-hmm. Verse 23, "If you indeed continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard." And so Colossians then tells us that if we are grounded, if we are steadfast, if we continue in the faith, then salvation is guaranteed.
Okay.
And then there's another portion of scripture. This is Revelation. And Revelation, so Jesus Christ makes seven letters, seven messages to the seven churches. Mm-hmm. And he repeats the same thing over and over as he ends his message to each particular church. Mm-hmm. In chapter 2, verse 26, this is what he says. And he who overcomes, this is the message he keeps saying to all the churches.
Okay.
But in chapter 2, verse 26, he adds something. He says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works till the end, to him I will give the power over nations. And so Christ intends that we keep in the faith. That's why he says you overcome and you keep his works until the end of until the end. So Jesus, God cannot be put in a box.
Okay.
Now I'm answering your question, having read scripture.
Okay, all right.
God cannot be boxed in that the process of salvation to someone may take a few hours, while for somebody else would take a lot more time.
Mm.
What the Bible then tells us is that salvation is a process. It involves redemption, reconciliation, regeneration, forgiveness, sanctification, justification, and then at the end, glorification.
Mm.
And so in the book of Luke, the person who is dying that very day finds Christ that very day. Salvation is guaranteed the moment they find Christ that very day.
So it means that the process is not applicable then.
Christ, so in his case, it is an event. So according to scripture, salvation is both an event and a process.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so for a person who finds Christ on their deathbed, they repent and then believe in him, they find salvation on their deathbed, and a minute later they die. That very minute is enough for their salvation. For somebody who live longer in their lives, their entire life becomes the process of salvation.
Okay.
That is why Jesus says you must continue in the faith and persevere to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says if we continue in the faith, we remain steadfast and grounded, then salvation is guaranteed.
If salvation is guaranteed and it can be in an instant, why don't then why does it have to be a process that lasts a lifetime? I mean, if this thing is possible and it can be done in an instant, shouldn't it be allowed to be in an instant for everyone?
If our human nature was any different, maybe it would have been in an instant. But we are of a fallen nature. We are inclined to sin.
Hmm.
And as a result, we have to fight this nature so that in the process of time, we conform to the nature of Jesus Christ, which is unfallen, which is righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why salvation involves not only justification, but also sanctification.
I see.
And that process takes time because of our human nature.
Mm. All right.
While it can be instant, because of our nature as human beings who are inclined to sin, it has to take time fighting the human nature so that we become that which is in Jesus Christ. Like Paul says, the mind which was in Christ, let it also be in you. And it takes a while for that to happen.
Now, when then does a salvation happen? I think you may have touched on this a bit. When does a salvation happen? Was it on the cross, or does it happen at baptism, or is it at the second coming of the Messiah? Exactly when?
Let me throw three texts to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8.
Mm.
First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and Romans chapter 13, verse 11. All three answer the question differently.
Okay.
In that, according to Ephesians, salvation has been done. We have been saved, because that's what it says. You have been saved through faith. We have been saved, according to Ephesians. According to Colossians, we are being saved. And according to Romans, we shall be saved. And so, the Bible teaches that the moment a person turns from their sin and trusts Jesus to be forgiven of their sin, that moment they become saved. That's what Peter told the people at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 41. Now, Jesus Christ himself says, that moment when you trust in him, when you turn from your sins, you will have passed from your spiritual death to spiritual life. That's what he says in John chapter 5, verse 24. And then he also declares that the moment you trust in him, you will have been declared guiltless before God. That's what Romans saying when you read from this chapter 3, verse 24 to 26. So what this whole thing says is that salvation begins when a person first becomes a Christian. Then the process continues throughout the rest of his or her life, which then concludes on the last day. It concludes either on their death or the day Jesus shall come back. So the idea of salvation is not just so you have believed in Jesus Christ and you are saved. Yes, that's what happens. You have been saved, but you are now being sanctified. That is why John says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, I now baptize you unto water, in water unto repentance, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The reason of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, the sinless image. So the process of sanctification comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and then he begins to bend the chaff, the inclination of sin in our hearts, so that daily we become as the Son of God. That is a process of salvation.
Yeah, quite a process, I must say. So, and we spoke about this yesterday, and I do want you to please restate it. Is then baptism, in light of what you've said, is baptism then a prerequisite for salvation? Doesn't look like it, does it?
Is it a prerequisite for salvation? No. Because here is the thief on the cross with Jesus Christ, who is assured salvation that very day, and he dies that very day. The assurance is made the day of his death. And according to the words of Jesus Christ, which we believe are true, because he did not even receive baptism, yet he received repentance and forgiveness of his sins, he shall be in paradise. And so baptism is not really a prerequisite. It is a necessary ingredient in baptism, in salvation, I mean, but it is not a prerequisite. You don't necessarily need to have baptism to be saved. It is, however, a show of your being saved. It is evidence of your being saved. Now, I say that word loosely, evidence, because it is simply a public show that you have been saved, that you have decided to change your course of life, to follow a different course of life, that of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is. Like I said yesterday, it is a symbolism of dying to sin and resurrection to the life, a new life of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is about. That of the Holy Spirit, however, there is no outward show of the event. What is seen are the works of the individual, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what shows that one has been baptized of the Holy Ghost.
Powerful.
I
now,
hope I have answered.
Yes, you definitely have. Thank you so much for that. And we are going to be wrapping up our conversation in a short bit. I do want to know, Pastor, from you, is Adventism a ticket to salvation? Because one may say, you know what, if I join the Adventist Church, there will be my ticket to salvation. Would that be the case?
Let me answer it this way. We Adventists believe that God has a church in this world.
Mm.
And how we know God's true church is that it has to conform to certain characteristics of what Scripture says the church of God is.
Mm.
And we believe that church, when we read Scripture, is the Seventh-day Adventist church. So Adventism, we believe, is that particular church God has in this life, in this world.
Mm.
However,
mm-hmm.
there will be in paradise many who have never known Adventism. There will be in paradise many who have not been Adventists. And there will be in paradise, paradise will miss out on many who are now Adventists. So that means that Adventism in itself is not a ticket to salvation.
Mm, mm.
However, because we believe that we are a Bible-believing church, Bible-teaching church, a Christ-believing church, we believe that what we teach is truth about Scripture. And as a result, we lay the foundation for one to receive the best biblical teaching that they can in this life right now. And that teaching would then set them free. It is not Adventism. It is Christ and following him that sets us free and gives us the salvation, the ticket to salvation.
Mm. Yeah. No, my pastor, I want to thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a fantastic, discussion. And of course, giving us some things to chew on and to study on. Thank you so much. And we're going to be doing our very last installment tomorrow on this particular subject. But I do want to thank you so much for coming through today.
Thank you so much. I am grateful for the invitation.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.